Hi, everybody, and welcome back to True Time. On January 2nd, 2018, Sandra Garner woke up to a nightmare. Her husband, John, had been shot dead in their bed by a masked intruder, but the police didn't buy her story. The investigation and trial revealed shocking secrets and lies, and the jury gave a stunning verdict. Was she guilty or innocent? This is the case of John and Sandra Garner. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is Avery.
And my name is Dylan.
And welcome to True Time.
Welcome back.
We're super excited to have you all here with us today.
Ecstatic.
Hope you've been having a good start to your week.
Hope so.
A good holiday weekend, maybe, for some.
Hope so.
We have a Monday off, so it's been pretty nice.
Tuesday.
Yes. Got a bonus day off.
Not Wednesday.
No, back to work on Wednesday, but it'll be a short week and then already back to the weekend.
If only you could see my tears. Here, listen real close. Maybe you can hear my tears.
Tears for what? Why are you crying?
Go back on Wednesday.
Oh my gosh. I think it's a short week. I will hopefully have some energy to get through it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I'll have a busy week, but so it'll go by fast.
Yeah. Well, last week we said we would have an exciting announcement for you guys that we would know where we're moving.
That was a lie. And not because of us.
No. Shocker here. The information has not been made available yet.
Yeah. So.
So just like you guys, we don't know. We are all in the same boat. Yeah.
So hopefully we find out this Wednesday.
Yeah. Fingers crossed it will actually be this week, and you will have to tune in again next week to find out where we are moving.
So now you have to listen.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's pretty much what's going on in our lives right now. A little bit of anxiety, but we're hanging in there.
Yeah.
But Dylan, would you like to tell everybody something exciting?
If you guys are interested, I have an email newsletter. It's more for, it's for anyone basically, but for people who are interested in learning any wide range of topics, we have four that we cycle through. So every month, a topic of the four is chosen. So either cyber fundamentals, personal finance, health and wellness, and history and sciences. So every month, one of those topics we go through, and every week you get sent a lesson plan to learn a specific subject within that topic. So this month has been cyber fundamentals. The first week was computer hardware. So I send you a lesson plan for Monday through Friday, and you just follow that lesson plan. It takes about 20 to 40 minutes a day, and it's just to keep learning. Maybe you're interested in changing your career field, or just you like learning. So.
Yeah, it's just a great way to grow your knowledge, become more well-rounded, and kind of a self-improvement, something to take time for yourself to do and get something really great out of it.
Whether you're interested or your kids are interested, it's for beginners, so I don't go super deep on topics. It's to become more of a generalist, so you know a lot about, or you know a little about a lot.
Yeah.
So you can talk to anyone about anything and know enough to have a conversation.
Yeah, and all of the emails Dylan sends are awesome. They're super detailed, or they have cool news stories. I told him this, but it literally looks like a whole team of people work on it. It's super professional, but fun. So I 10 out of 10 would recommend you sign up for it.
It's still new. This is the first month that I've started it. We're on week 3. Just got sent out again today. It's sent out every Monday. And then every Wednesday, I send a motivational email so that to help you continue learning, maybe push you through the rest of the week. Yeah, so.
And you can find the link to the website. Oh, you might want to tell them what it's called. Did you tell them?
No.
Okay.
So you can, the website is truenorthletter.com, but yeah, the newsletter is just called True North.
If you can tell, we're keeping true in the family.
Yeah, that's sort of the goal.
Yes, so We will have the link to the website in our description box, or you just type in truenorthletter.com and there will be a sign up tab and a bunch of other information on the website as well.
Yeah, there's a bunch of tabs. So if you want to read more about the goals of the website and or of the newsletter, just find out more, then, you know, that's what the website's for.
Yep. So everybody go support Dylan.
Yeah, I think that's all for our updates.
I think so.
Ready to start?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Our case this week begins on January 2nd, 2018 in May Pearl, Texas. John and Sandra Garner first met in Paris, Texas while they were both working as managers for a packing company. John was described as, quote, a wild, crazy guy, according to CBSNews.com. He was a heavy drinker who would frequently mix in his antidepressants, and while being very outgoing, he was also said to be very blunt, and this type of personality can for sure rub some people the wrong way.
Well, this is a great start to a true crime case.
Yeah.
It sounds already like trouble waiting to happen.
Sandra, who had been divorced twice, was a single mother to a daughter and son. She was 13 years older than John, but that did not stand in the way of their relationship. 2 years after they met, they decided to get married on New Year's Eve in Las Vegas. Together, they lived a happy and loving life. John quickly became a second father to Sandra's son, Wes, and they had a strong bond. Sandra's daughter, Andrea, had a harder time accepting John, but all of that changed in 2014. That was the year Sandra was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Andrea truly saw how much John loved Sandra by becoming her caretaker with no hesitation.
And what is multiple sclerosis?
So multiple sclerosis, also known as MS, is a disabling disease that attacks the brain and spinal cord. So your central nervous system, basically your immune system is attacking your nerve fibers and it damages the communication between your brain and your spinal cord, so your nerves. And it just ends up kind of leaving your body to essentially deteriorate.
That sounds really sad.
Yeah, it kind of just disables you completely over time. You can't walk eventually, you know, you lose your muscle definition, your face ends up kind of like drooping down. Like nothing is like firm or strong anymore. It's really sad.
Mm-hmm.
According to CBSNews.com, not only did the medicine she had to take make her feel extremely sick, but she had also developed severe depression that would lead her to thoughts of suicide.
That's so sad, is that not only you're going through like MS, but then the medicine also makes you feel worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like the side effects of the medicine you have to take.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no true cure, so it always just feels temporary.
Yeah.
Sandra's fear was becoming a burden to her husband. She even went so far as to Google things like how to kill myself in my sleep or how do I take pills to kill myself, according to CBS.
That's so sad.
One day, she even told John about how she was feeling and that she wanted to end her life. But his response to her was that if she did that, he would too. And that's what helped her realize she couldn't do something like that. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. It's officially a new year, which can be exciting to think of all the possibilities and opportunities that lie ahead of us in 2023. But personally, it can also be extremely overwhelming. New beginnings can come with a lot of unknowns and uncertainties, and dealing with these stressors can cause us to struggle with sleeping, making life decisions, and finding what truly makes us happy. A few months ago, I personally had to make some really difficult decisions to prioritize my mental health, but by doing that, I was able to overcome the challenges I faced and ultimately learned how important it is to check in with myself and how I'm feeling. Fresh starts can be hard or even scary, but an amazing solution to work through anything you may be facing is to start talking to a therapist. Now is the perfect time to put your mental health first and check out BetterHelp.
BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service with over 25,000 licensed and experienced therapists and is 100% online, which is amazing because this truly makes it accessible to everyone. To get started, you simply just answer a couple of questions about what your specific needs are and what you are looking for in a therapist. This information allows BetterHelp to match you to a therapist who is experienced in helping to meet your needs and trained to listen. Then you can get in contact with your therapist in a way that is convenient and comfortable for you. You can text or chat at any time, as well as schedule phone or video calls. If at any time you decide you'd like a new therapist, BetterHelp can help you to make a switch at no additional charge.
BetterHelp is an amazing resource that offers professionalism and quality you would expect from in-office therapy, all from the comfort of your own space. It can be difficult to search and find the help you are looking for in your area, but BetterHelp ultimately allows you to connect with a therapist who is custom-picked for you, with more scheduling flexibility at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/truetime. That's betterhelp.com/truetime. Check out our link in the description to take charge of your mental health today. Thank you again to BetterHelp for sponsoring today's episode. As Sandra got sicker, she 100% relied on John to take care of her while he was also the only one working. So this led to their decision to move closer to John's family in Maypearl, Texas in 2016. According to Distractify.com, they moved right next to John's family and they even shared a backyard. They all spent their time together and were extremely close. On the night of January 2nd, 2018, John and Sandra decided to go out to dinner to celebrate their 18th anniversary. However, only a few hours later, Sandra would end up having to make a tragic 911 call. During the call, Sandra told the operator that a masked man had shot her husband in their bedroom.
So how functional is she at this point? Did it say?
No, I think she could still walk around. She wasn't like in a wheelchair or anything like that. She could still walk and use her hands and things like that, but she couldn't work.
Yeah, okay.
By the time the police arrived, they discovered John had been fatally shot in his bed in the middle of the night. He was only 42 years old. They quickly began sweeping the house, searching to see if the gunman was still inside, but he was nowhere to be found. Once the home was cleared, Sandra started to talk to the police officers. She walked them through their home and began to calmly tell them the story of what had unfolded shortly before they arrived. She explained how she was abruptly awoken to the sound of gunshots right beside her in bed. She told the police how she started screaming and begged the gunman not to kill her, but his response was that he was not there for her. He supposedly explained to Sandra that John had fired him from his job, which led him to lose his home and family. He then proceeded to tell Sandra that he remembered John talking about a stash of money he kept in their room and demanded that she go get it for him since he deserved it. She then proceeded to retrieve a lockbox from their closet that contained $18,000 and gave it to the intruder.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a lot of cash.
I don't know anyone that keeps that much cash just sitting in their room.
No, I couldn't imagine. I would not feel safe knowing that much money was just in my room. She told the police that when the closet light came on, she was able to see that he was taller than her and wore a mask, but she didn't recognize his voice or his eyes. After he got the money, Sandra explained that he told her to sit and count to 100 before she called the police, and if he heard sirens before that, he would come back and kill her. The police knew this was a wild story and that this was going to be an intense investigation.
Yeah, they have nothing to work on.
No.
I guess other than working with him firing him.
Yeah, this is like the only evidence they have so far. But, you know, there's so much on the table at this point. They brought Sandra into the station for further questioning, swabbed her hands for gunpowder, and took her clothes for further testing. She told the same story again. John's family was absolutely shocked and devastated to learn what had happened. The family rallied around Sandra and offered comfort. However, the police would discover some interesting information that night from Wes, Sandra's son. Wes was the last person other than Sandra to have seen and spoken to John at around 7 o'clock that night, so just a few hours before he was killed. Because of that, the police wanted to speak to him, so he was also questioned that night at the station. The police quickly picked up on the fact that Wes seemed to have some suspicions that his mom was possibly the one responsible for John's death.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he spared no time.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Questioned her story and everything right off the bat.
Wow.
The police officers at Sandra's home continued their investigation for hours, searching everything, taking swabs and pictures. They had a detached garage where they found Sandra's Mustang, but there was nothing incriminating inside. This was Chief Norton's first murder investigation, and from the start, he had to deal with some major setbacks. One being the fact that the crime technician didn't make it to the home until 8 hours later. So Chief Norton had to take photos of the scene on his cell phone, and somehow these photos disappeared from his camera roll.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, they have no idea what happened to those photos. I think he had an iPhone, so I don't know. If you want to see some in-depth police body cam footage from the time the police arrived throughout their search, you can find it by clicking on the CBS News links in our description box. So the police did, however, make some major discoveries. When searching Sandra's personal iPad, they found that just a few days before, she had made the search, quote, how to kill somebody in their sleep, and clicked on a link that was titled, quote, 16 ways to kill somebody and not get caught. The fact that a link like that exists on the internet is wild to me.
I mean, some people just have a weird fascination with things like that, and it's harmless. And then some people, it's
just so strange. It's like a blog post, like 16 ways to better yourself, but to kill someone, it's just so unsettling to me.
And then how you don't think that they'll look through your search history.
Yeah, well,
it's very incriminating from the start.
Mm-hmm. Another shocking piece of evidence found was that the Garners did not lack in protection because they owned 49 pistols and around 12 rifles that were scattered around the home, according to CBSNews.com.
That's insane.
Yeah, I thought it was funny how in that article, it even said that was a lot, even for Texas.
Yeah, I was just about to say they are in Texas.
But yeah.
I don't know. I mean, my family lives in Texas, and mm-hmm. I don't know anyone that has that many guns.
Yeah. It's intense.
Especially, like, that many pistols.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There are collectors, but...
Yeah, it's extreme. It didn't sound like they were collectibles.
Scattered around the house. If it's collector, mm-hmm. They would keep it in a central, safe location.
Yeah. So, even out of all of the guns, the police found that one of them, a .38, was missing. John had gifted the revolver to Sandra, and after they received the autopsy report, the police were able to make the connection that John had been shot with a .38. With this knowledge, the police knew that they needed to find that missing gun. So, 3 days later, on January 5th, the police returned to Sandra's and John's home to continue searching. Sandra waited with John's family in their home next door. The police decided to check on Sandra's Mustang again, but this time it was locked. They needed to get in to search it, so Sandra's son Wes went over to tell her they needed the key. This made her furious because she felt like the police were trying to find evidence to pin on her, so she refused.
Yeah, I mean, they have somewhat evidence that you used your gun.
Yeah. Eventually, she did give the police her key, once they told her that they would just break into it if she didn't cooperate. It only took a quick look for the police to find a plastic bag under the front seat. Inside that plastic bag, wrapped in wet paper towels, was the missing rusty .38 caliber revolver.
So she must have hidden it somewhere else and then put it into there?
Yeah, all the police know at this point is when that night they first searched, it wasn't there. Now, 3 days later, it's there.
Interesting.
The police also weren't able to find a single trace of DNA on it. With the discovery, all eyes were on Sandra, as she was now a prime suspect. The police still interviewed quite a few people who John had fired over the years to find any other leads, but they came up with nothing. John's family was truly shocked, and they started to believe that Sandra had killed John at this point, since it was odd how the gun appeared in her car after 3 days. Sandra was brought in for more questioning, but she said she had no idea how the gun got inside her car. According to CBSNews.com, 5 days later, the police received the results from the ballistics test that confirmed the bullets that killed John were fired from that .38 caliber revolver. A few hours later, the police waited in Sandra's driveway, and as she pulled in, she was removed from her car and placed under arrest for the murder of John Garner, and her bond was set at $2 million. Sandra's son Wes didn't seem too shocked by the arrest of his own mother, and that was because some of the information he openly shared with the police might have had something to do with it. The police had spoken to Wes a few times, and captured on footage was him stating that he knew his mother owned a .38 revolver and that she had told him if she ever kept it in her car, it would be under her front seat. It was oddly suspicious how after the police learned this information, they found the gun right where he said it would be. Another unsettling piece of information prosecutors involved in this case learned was that Sandra and John were the type of people to be in bed by 9:30 religiously. However, it was between 11 and 12 at night that those Google searches were made on Sandra's passwordless iPad. That same night, Wes had also been over at their house because he frequently spent time with his mom and stepdad. At the beginning of the case, Wes did have an alibi after seeing Sandra and John. He bought a 6-pack of beer and went home to watch Netflix, and at the time, the timestamps showed that this was between 11 and midnight, which would have made it impossible for him to have been the murderer. However, it was discovered that the timestamps were for a different time zone, not Central Time, where Texas is located. Despite the fact that this meant he no longer had a solid alibi, the police always stated that they never looked at Wes as a suspect.
That's crazy. And he pinned it on his own mom?
Mm-hmm.
Unless they were working together?
He just gave her up very quickly. Any information he had, he was not hesitant with the police to share. Most people involved in this case said that just by talking to him, you could tell he was a mess and not smart enough to be able to carry out a murder. Sandra, however, truly believes he is the one who did it and planted evidence to make her look guilty. Everyone's suspicions with that, though, is she still claims she did not recognize the voice of the man who she said did it.
So is this why, or, I mean, you haven't said this, but it makes me think that they were working together?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that can only be a theory, but okay. I've thought about that.
Yeah.
After being in jail for a year and a half, Sandra's trial began in September of 2019. Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's sort of messed up because although they had like the pistol, there was no DNA evidence that it was her.
No.
There was no proof. Also, I mean, there's just as much suspicion that it could be the son.
Yeah, but the police never, ever said Wes was a suspect. So
that makes
those
no
were just
sense.
Like theories that I read off to you, just so you have some background. Okay. But gets you thinking. But like to the police, everything I just said never mattered.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, that's just crazy to me. If there's just as much suspicion that it could be him with all, I mean, that type of evidence, should either they're both in jail or neither one of them.
Yeah.
Especially for a year and a half.
So while up to this point, you may think that this case is pretty open and shut.
Well, I don't.
When I was reading this case, it's so hard to decide where you fall because there's so many different angles.
I mean, I'm obviously not a cop. I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I just have the information that you're giving me that you got from these sources. Like, so, yeah, yeah. I can't say anything like that, but it just feels like, like what son just willingly
gives up his mom?
That's that fast.
It's just weird, and there's a lot more to uncover. So, the prosecution team argued, in what world does a murderer show up with the intent to kill and not bring a weapon? So they decide to just use one that they found?
Yeah.
Some sources said that the gun was under her pillow, but I couldn't confirm that. And also, who sleeps with a gun under their pillow like that? Just strange, weird. Again, more theories. But they also argued how strange someone would wear a mask to disguise himself, but then have a long, drawn-out conversation with Sandra about why he was there and why he murdered John.
Yeah.
And again, there were the incriminating iPad searches. But it wasn't going to be a straightforward trial. From the beginning of the investigation, a lot of valuable evidence was lost. As I mentioned, this was Chief Norton's first investigation, which meant he did not have as much experience in handling a crime like this. The crime scene was never secured. Everyone, like paramedics and other police officers, were going in and out of the rooms, and Sandra was also allowed to move freely around the house.
Oh, gosh.
Chief Norton regretted not taking her to sit in the police car and immediately bagging her hands to preserve any gunshot residue if there was some. While some residue was found on her arm, it wasn't enough to be conclusive that she had fired the gun, since it could be argued that the gunpowder ended up there since she was laying right next to him in bed when he was shot.
Yeah, makes sense.
The police also didn't fingerprint the Mustang's car door handle the day they found the gun inside, which could have had a new suspect's fingerprints on it.
I mean, it sounds like this isn't all on the chief, though, right? I mean, all these people,
no, this is it their was. Job. It, well, he was in charge. This was his first job as a lead investigator.
Okay, I'm not sure how this works, but...
yeah. I just read that he basically knew within a week they had really messed up and that he should have handed this case over to the county.
Okay.
Another challenge during the trial was giving a motive. While in Texas, prosecutors do not have to prove a motive, no one could quite understand what it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
If it was Sandra, why would she have done this to the man she loved and was her caretaker? Some believed if Wes had been a suspect, he might have done it for the money. But again, he was never officially labeled as a suspect, and this is just a theory.
And they haven't been able to track anything with that money?
No, I guess not. It's cash, so that's really tough.
Yeah.
Our cat Kaiser will definitely be jealous of all your dogs if you treat them to a special BarkBox every month. As affiliates of BarkBox, we have a special link in the description of this episode that you can click on to purchase a classic BarkBox for your favorite podcast listening pup. Every purchase of the classic BarkBox using our link greatly supports True Time, so thank you. Every time you go to the pet store, you end up wandering through the aisles looking at the same generic toys and treats that are always there. But with BarkBox, which is a unique themed monthly subscription service for your dog, you can really elevate your playtime and treat time.
Every month, BarkBox creates a brand new theme, along with some really cool featured themes for toys and treats inside. Your first month, you get to pick out of the available themes. And every box after that, BarkBox will surprise you and your dog, so it really feels like the gift that keeps on giving. Each BarkBox comes with two toys, two bags of treats, and one chew. They offer a monthly, a 6-month, and a yearly subscription plan so you can pick the option that works best for you and your dog.
They also have awesome incentives when you first sign up. For example, your first box will be doubled for free. That means you'll be getting 4 toys, 4 treats, and 2 chews. BarkBox works with meat preferences, diet and allergy restrictions, and even offers a surprise for your dog's birth month or adoption month. So what are you waiting for? Use the link in the description to order your first BarkBox today. Your dogs will be so excited for playtime. A shock to this trial was when Sandra took the stand herself, which is unusual as a defendant in a murder case, according to CBSNews.com. And it wasn't great. It wasn't bad. She couldn't remember a lot of things. When she was questioned about her iPad searches, she didn't really have answers. So it was kind of rocky.
Okay.
But after a month-long trial that contained 25 witnesses and 400 pieces of evidence, the jurors were ready to deliberate. They had their verdict in only 3 hours. Sandra Garner was found not guilty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was shocked.
Yeah, I did not see that coming. I thought... Yeah. I thought for sure that.
Whether I still am undecided if I believe she did it or not, I felt like the jury would have found her guilty.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I feel like I would have, I mean, I feel like she's not guilty, but I don't feel jury ever does something like that.
I know there's so much obvious evidence that she could have done it, but then I also see a lot of things like, why would she do that? It doesn't make any sense. So very, very interesting.
Yeah. So where does it go from there?
I mean, that's basically where the story kind of wraps up. Sandra celebrated with her daughter, Andrea, and they were both extremely relieved. Andrea was excited knowing her mom would now be a free woman. However, for John's family, this was not a day of celebration. They still believe she was the one who took John's life and were devastated that justice was not served. One of John's family members named Jessica said, quote, "John should still be alive. We should still be a family. That was taken from us. There should be justice for his killer. There's not. There never will be. None of us have talked to her. None of us want to talk to her," end quote. They moved away from Sandra's home and still have a relationship with Wes. However, Sandra and her daughter Andrea have nothing to do with Wes.
Well, yeah.
After all he did against her, Sandra has not spoken to her son and she doesn't plan to again. In Sandra's 48-hour interview with CBS, interviewer Richard Schlesinger asked her, quote, "Under the law, you cannot be charged with this crime again, even if you say you did it. So let me ask you, did you kill your husband?" And she replied, quote, "No. Man was the love of my life. I told you he was all I had. He was going to take care of me for the rest of my life. Without him, I have nobody. No, I didn't kill my husband."
That's what I'm saying. Like, she doesn't have anyone now.
No. Basically, she's left with a small little family, her daughter.
She spent a year and a half in jail because of that.
Yeah.
Like, that's messed up. That's so messed up to me. How is that legal?
I guess just trial dates being pushed around, pushed back. I don't know.
And a $2 million bail?
Yeah.
Like, what?
They did that intentionally, so, well, you know, yeah, she couldn't pay it.
That's obvious, yeah.
Which is usually the case in these types of murder cases. But I feel like there's usually more evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the evidence that was there is so oddly obvious, but oddly not at the same time.
This is such a frustrating case.
Yeah.
You guys need to let us know what your thoughts are on this, like, mm-hmm. for real, because this one got me riled up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It messed with my mind. There's so much.
Yeah, there's a lot of messed up things in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I guess somewhat could have been negated if it was handled well from the get-go.
Yeah. Would it have ended differently? What other evidence was lost?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, was that everything?
That is everything. She's a free woman. Oh, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but she still lives in the home.
Yeah.
She went back. She said in an interview that she feels closest to him there, and that's what she would have... Or that's what she thinks he would have wanted her to do. So she still lives in that house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let us know for real.
Yeah, I'm very interested to hear your thoughts because I'm stumped. I have no idea.
Am I crazy or is this like messed up?
It's like I'm very interested. I don't think it's that obvious. But
this is one that they need to make a documentary on.
There are, you know, ABC has theirs. I focused heavily on CBS's.
Mm.
They did, you know, their crime shows, but
okay.
I don't know. That's all I got.
Alrighty. Well, I guess we'll move on to the question of the day.
Okay.
So the question of the day is, if you had $1 billion or just any amount of money, because $1 billion could pretty much buy anything, what's one thing that you would buy? Like a significant amount of money that would make a dent.
I think since I've been so podcast focused lately, I would probably want a really cool podcast studio.
That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. Make it legit.
Yeah. Like somewhere I could be inspired to just like work, have a cool recording set up with like, we have some pretty great technology, but just a really cool permanent setup, maybe hire a team.
Yeah.
Get really fancy with it.
Mm-hmm.
That would take True Time to the next level.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Yeah.
One day.
I'll make it a reality.
All you guys have to do is share with your family and friends.
Yes. Keep spreading True Time around with everybody you know, everybody you meet.
Yeah, you don't even have to know them.
No. Everybody I've talked to, at least, whenever I tell them I have a true crime podcast, the response is genuinely, oh my gosh, like I love true crime, or I'm so interested in watching all those shows. Mm-hmm. So the odds are they might be interested. So
yeah, I usually watch over people's shoulder whenever I tell them and force them to go.
Yeah.
Like click on the podcast, make sure.
Yeah. I'm a substitute teacher and I work kind of full time. So all the kids get really excited when I tell them about it.
Yeah.
But please help me make my dream a reality and share it. All right, Dylan, if you were gifted $1 billion+, what would you buy?
Straight to cars.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Straight to cars. It's semi-impossible for me to choose one because there's so many amazing cars.
Well, what would be the first one?
I would have to go with... It's so hard because I'm between the Porsche 918 Spyder, just the classic, you know, era of a hypercar, you know, of my generation growing up. That was like the hypercar.
Oh.
But, you know, you can't sleep on Koenigsegg. Just can't. So it's between that, like the Koenigsegg Agera RS, the 1-to-1, or, you know, the 918 Spyder. It's impossible for me to decide. They're both.
Well, then I guess you can buy them at the same
engineering
time.
Engineering-wise, just works of art, you know.
If any of you know what he's talking about, help him decide. Because I really don't. Only what he has tried to teach me.
If you pull up with one of those cars, you know, unless you have something crazy like a F40 or something, then you're stopping everyone in their tracks. But yeah.
Nice. One day. One day.
When I have $1 billion.
Yeah, that would be great. What would you guys do if you had $1 billion? Let us know. You can comment on any of our social media posts, or you can send us a message.
Yeah. Interested to know, because people probably have some interesting answers.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, so that's everything for the day. If you guys want to check out our pages for True Time, that's on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at True Time Podcast. There you can find anything about the cases, the pictures, anything like that. If you want to follow our personal pages or Avery's personal pages, that's at Avery E. Hamill on Instagram and TikTok.
Yep, and you can also check out the links in our description box for anything you heard about here today.
Hope you guys have a great week.
Thank you all so much for taking time out of your day. We really, really appreciate it. I know we say this, but... You guys are the best. We get so excited when we see your comments and you guys downloading.
And lots of great ratings lately.
Yes, they've been amazing and it makes me really happy. So if you've left a rating or a review, thank you so much.
We really appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely.
Alrighty.
Well, I hope you all have a great rest of your week.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.